All right, we're going to start here at the two dots on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing the end of the Mishnah, which is the machloku between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says, Kol anashim meitot nidot. All women that pass away have classification of nidot, and therefore we're tovela to all the kelim that surround this woman. Beit Hillel omrim, e nida, elishmeita nida. If she's a nida when she dies, then she's classified as a nida. Otherwise, she's not classified as a nida. You don't have to worry about the issue of tefillah. So Gemara says, "My tamayu de Beit Shammai." What is the reason that Beit Shammai requires a tevilah for any woman that dies? Inema. So the Gemara here is going to speculate as to the reason. Mishum dichtiv batit chalchala malka by Esther. It says that she was overwrought by the news that was brought to her through Mordechai. V'amarav v'lamed she pirsa nida, that from this caused her to menstruate. So Hachanami agav biutato de malacha de mavto chayzio, the same that by Esther, the fear of the news that came to her caused her to be pirsa nida, to menstruate. So too over here, the fear of the malacha mavet, that moment before death, that causes her to be pirsa nida. The problem with that is vanantanan. We had a Mishnah earlier on in the Masechta, shacharada misalechet damim. When a woman has fear, that causes her menstruation to actually skip the cycle. That was the instance where the woman was hiding from invaders, marauders in the city. We said there, if she checks by her vest, doesn't see any damim, that we say that the dam was misuleket because she was in fear. Mar says, alokasho, there's a difference between these. Pachado tzomit, biututa mirafio. Pachado, a constant and nagging fear, causes the menstrual blood to stay in, not to come out. Whereas biutata, sudden fear, shock, marafia, that causes the woman to menstruate. So that would be the answer as to why Beit Shammai, according to Gemara now, speculating in Beit Shammai's reason as to why all women are classified as nidot when they die. Where it says the problem with that is, v'halaha detanyo, we have a braita, Beit Shammai omrim kol anashim mitim zavim. All men who die have a classification of Zav. Beit Hillel omrim, ein zav elo mi shemeit zav. The only one that's a classification of Zav is if you die when you were a Zav. So the problem with that is it doesn't work by a Zav. The same reasoning that you're saying by a woman who's a Nida does not apply to a Zav. Because that's because one of the key differences that we've discussed over and over again between a Zav and Nida is that a Nida who sees Damim bonus is considered to be a sighting. It's considered to be a menstruation. On the other hand, a Zav who sees an emission bonus, that's not considered to be Zav. So if the whole problem here is that you have pachado de malcha de mavta, because of the malcha mavet, the fear causes the person to have a sighting, by nida that will be sufficient to make her into a nida, by a zav that will not make him into a zav, because ikregan mibsaro v'lo machmat onso, that the emission has to come out of his flesh, and not because of some exogenous variable like the malcha mavet that's causing it to come out. At the time of the Beit Shammai, this is the reasoning behind Beit Shammai, the Tanya. Berishona. Ayu matbilim kelim al gabi nidot metot. Tosefta tells us in the beginning, they used to be matbil, all the kelim that were around this woman when she passed away if she was a nida. Vayu nidot chayot mit baishot. And the women who were nidot at that time were embarrassed by the fact that even during their lifetime they're different, but now even in death they're different. Itkinu she matbilim al gabi kol anashim. They made a gzera that all women would have this process done to them. In order not to embarrass those nidot that were alive. And the same thing is true by the Zav. They used to take to the mikvah all the kelim that before mitah were near this Zav. And those Zavin that were alive also would be embarrassed by the fact that they were already problematic and different in their lifetime, that it would continue into their death. And therefore they were matbil all the kelim, as if all of them were zavin, in order to not have this differentiation, not cause this busha to the zavin that were alive. Now from the Gemara, it sounds like that this is shitat Beit Shammai, which is very interesting, because this is uncharacteristic. If we look at the nature of this, it seems here Beit Shammai is worried about the feelings, about the consideration of those that are alive, and that they're going to be mitbashin, and Beit Hillel seems to ignore that. That doesn't seem characteristic. So Tosfon mentions in the end that he thinks that Beit Hillel agrees to this position of Beit Shammai. He says either Debrishona Hachu Ainu Mitchila Hayu Nogim Ke Beit Hillel. In the beginning they were noeg like Beit Hillel, and in the end they were noeg Beit Shammai. But Beit Hillel agrees that Usofit Kino Kuli Amish Nogim Ke Beit Shammai, that even Beit Hillel in the end agrees to be noeg Ke Beit Shammai after they saw that this issue arose. That's one possibility. Or that the machloke between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only about Evan Misama. That which our Mishnah is discussing, that one unusual case of Evan Misama, that's where Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai argue. But in general cases of Tumah from a Zav and a Nidah and so on and so forth, even Beit Hillel will agree to position of Beit Shammai. So Tosfot in the end, I think addressing this issue, says that Beit Hillel agrees to this position of Beit Shammai, either because they agree with the Takana, or because the machloket is much more narrow, so they don't end up in a situation. I mean, he has a proof from the Tosefta and other places that Beit Hillel seems to agree, but nevertheless, just in terms of the character of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, I would say that this seems more apropos to Beit Hillel, and therefore it would be surprising if only Beit Shammai was gozer this way, and not Beit Hillel. All right, next Mishnah. Isha Shemeta, V'yatza mimena revia dam, mitama mishum ketem. A woman who passes away, and then emits a revi'it worth of dam from the makor, then she's mitama mishum ketem. Now, when mishum ketem over here means like a riyat nida, that's mitama bekoshuhu. U'mitama be'ohel. And on top of that, that dam, because it exited after mitah, a revi'it of that dam will be mitame be'ohel. Rabbi Yehuda omer, eina mitama mishum ketem. That can't be the case. It can't be tame mishum nida, because sheminei shenei akar mishemeita. It only left the mekor, it only left the uterus after she died. So that's not a sighting of nida. How can I have a classification of nida if it only exited after death? Omode Rabbi Yehuda b'yoshevet al mashber, a woman who is birthing and then dies in childbirth, meita v'yatza mimena revi adam, and then the dam exited, shehi mitama mishum ketem. That might have a din of tumat nida, because at least the koshu of that left the woman before she died, because she's on the birthing stool, so it's clear that the uterus is releasing, and when it released at least a tipat dam beforehand, then within this revi'at dam that we're seeing now, there's at least a koshu that left before she died, and therefore it has tamei tumat nida. Now, Amar Rabbi Yossi, lefika, therefore, ain a mitama be'ohel. If it's mitama be'nida, that means it exited before she died. It can't be mitama be'ohel now, because it's either or. You have to pick. Either it's mitama be'ohel or it's mitama be'nida. Question about Rabbi Yossi, it's not clear whether Rabbi Yossi is qualifying Rabbi Yehuda, or is Rabbi Yossi arguing on Rabbi Yehuda. So now, Michlal, the Tanakama Savar, Afal Gav Denekar Dam Mishemeta. Sounds like this, that the Tanakam thinks, even if the Dam came out after Meta from the uterus, Mitama Mishum Ketem, that is a din of Tumat Nida. Samar Ziri Mikor Mikomo Tame Ikaminayu. Question of whether the uterus itself is a Makom Tame and causes the Dam to have a unique status. That's the Machloka between them. The Dam that exits the Makor, even though that Dam does not make the woman into a Nida, of course, she's not going to have Tumat Nida anymore, because the Dam is exiting from the Makor at a point in time where she will not be a Nida. Nevertheless, the Makor itself imbues anything that exits from it with Tumah. Tumah to the point where the blood exiting is an Ava Tumah, not an Ava Tumah like Nida, that it makes the woman a Nida, or that it has Tumat Shiv'ah, but rather it has Tumat Erev. It's an Ava Tumah that the Maga or contact with it will cause Tumat Erev. And that's why the Tanakhama says that there's Tumah even after death, because we're talking about Tumah that emanates from the Mekor, not classic Tumah Tanida. Now, Omode Rabbi Yehuda. So here there's a question about the Girsa, and that's what I mentioned before, because Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Michlal, the Tanakhama Savar, Be'ohel Nami Mitameh. So the question here, the other Girsa you can see on the side is, Michlal de Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Be'ohel Nami Mitameh. So the question is, are we comparing here the Tanakhama to Rabbi Yehuda? Or are we comparing Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Yossi? And that goes back to what I mentioned before. Is Rabbi Yossi just qualifying Rabbi Yehuda or arguing on Rabbi Yehuda? From Rashi, it seems that it is arguing. And the question here is, machloket here is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And that's what the Gemara is trying to explain here. There's obviously the other girsa would indicate this is still a machlok between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. That it sounds from this that the ohel is nami mitameh. So according to either Rabbi Yehuda arguing on the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda says that the dam that comes out is a dam ketem, and Rabbi Yossi qualifies and says that it's ketem and not ohel. Implications from that are the Tanakhama thinks it's also mitame be'ohel. On the other hand, the other possibility is that Rabbi Yossi, who says that it's not mitame be'ohel, is arguing on Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says it is mitame be'ohel. So the question is one of those two. Whoever says it's not mitame be'ohel, the other one says it is, but that's Rabbi Yehuda or the Tanakhama, and that's the question here. Why? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, dam tvusa ikabeinayo. The question here is about dam tvusa. Dam tvusa, something we bumped into earlier in the Masechta a couple of daf ago, that is a safek dam midrabanan. And now we're going to explain that. Titania, we have a braita. Ezehu dam tvusa. What is dam tvusa? Perish Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yehuda, harug shiatza mimenu dam. A person who was murdered has dam that's flowing out of them. Ven bechayav ben bemoto, whether it came out when he was alive, whether it came out when he's dead. So you have these three possibilities. Whether it's safek v'chayav yatza, possibility that it came out when he was alive. Safek v'moto yatza, possibility it came out all when he was dead. Safek v'chayav v'moto, or possibility it came out both while he was alive and he's dead. Zehu dam tvusa. That is a din of dam tvusa, because here we have a safek. We're not sure if it exited after he died, which would be revit the dam that's mitamei be'ohel, or it came out while he was alive, which has no impact over here. Maybe as tumat magamet, but nothing else besides that. The Gemara says that is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, that's called dam tvusa. Chomim marmim, that's not the case. There we have a real safek. There is a possibility here that you have tumat bidoraita. If it all came out after he was dead, then you have tumat deoraita. If it came out before he was dead, then it's taror. So we do have a safek, but this is a safek in deoraita. When you have a safek deoraita, we already have the rules that govern that. That is b'shuta yachid svekotamei. If you have been b'shuta yachid svekotamei, b'shuta rabim svekotor. So that can't be dam tvusa. That's a real safek. That's a safek deoraita. Safek deoraita. We have the rules that govern that. But if you want to talk about a safek derabanan, this is what it is. Ela ezu dam tvusa harug shiyatza imenu revi dam bechayav. He had a revi dam that already left when he was alive. Ubimoto, and after he is dead. So somewhere along the lines between the time that he was alive and he's dead, a whole revi dam exits the body. But dayin lo pasak, and it still hasn't stopped coming out. Question, this little phrase here, it's machloka at the number of Rishonim, how to explain it? We'll come back to it in a second. Safek rubo b'chayav umiyuto b'moto. So safek whether the majority came out while he was alive, and only a miyut when he was dead, or safek miyuto b'chayav, or safek if a minority came out when he was alive, rubo b'moto. Zehu dam tvusa. That's called dam tvusa. Now to clarify for this, it's irrelevant whether the rov was when he was alive or the rov when he's dead. Neither will be mitamei, but ohel midoraita. Midoraita, there is no chance of tuma over here, because it doesn't matter. You need a revi'at dam after death. Doesn't matter. It's not about rov or not rov. You need a revi'at dam after death, period. So over here, whether the rov is when he was alive or rov when he was dead, either way, we're all talking about tuma derabanan, not tuma doraita. So why is there a difference between rubo b'chayav and rubo b'meit? Because if we knew for certain that the rov came out while he was still alive, then we would not be gozer over here. There's no reason to be gozer. We're only gozer that if the rov came out after he died, we're gozer otu that you have a revi'at dam that came out after mita. So in that case, we're gozer. So that's why over here, the Gemara says it has to be at least a safek that rubo came out after death. Not that it's all rubo b'chayav. But again, both of them are dinei derabanan. Either way, it's only a din derabanan that we're speaking about over here. So that is zehu dam tvusa. Now going back to that line of adayin lo pasak, what does that mean, that it still hasn't stopped coming out? So the Rabbeinu Tam has the simplest explanation according to that understanding, which is Mefresh v'adayin lo pasak shachar shenodan lanu shemeit re'inu shelo pasak. We know for certain that some dam came out after he was dead. V'dayika miut achar mita. So at least there's a miut after mita. We have to have some suffix here that at least some of the dam came out after mita. So adayin lo pasak means that the blood was still flowing for certain after he died. And that's why we have a safek over here. If we didn't see any blood that came out after he died, then sounds like it's all rubo michayim. It sounds like it all came out while he was alive. Or rov michayim, over there we wouldn't worry about it. So we have to have at least this safek that involves it coming out after death. And that's what it means, adayin lo pasak. The other alternatives are the Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam, who says he doesn't know what it means. Lo yitparish. Says, I don't know what it means. Not clear why the Breita or the Tosefta mentions it at all. You have the Ri, who says, adayin lo pasak, mishmeit b'shema holech v'rabba adshei revi'at shlema. There is really a safek here. There's a third safek, the possibility that you actually got a revi'at dam after he died. But if it had been pasak after he died, then we would not have been gozer on dam tvusa, because there's no chance a revi'at dam that came out after mita. So therefore, they wouldn't be gozer in that case. And the last explanation is given by the Rav Yehuda ben Rav Yom Tov. Fresh v'adayin lo pasak perish m'liot shotet. It hasn't stopped flowing. Because ilo ayim etaftef, it was dripping, hayat tahor, the rishon batel. Because then the first, each one that dropped out would be batel. So adayin lo pasak is an indication that it's flowing, not dripping. So here you have numerous explanations of what the meaning of this adayin lo pasak is, from the point of the Rabbeinu Tam just indicating that there's at least some dam achar mita we know for sure, so that's why we're gozer. The Ri, who says that there could be a revi'at dam achar mita, and that's what brings us into the safek. And the Rav Yehuda ben Rav Yom Tov, who says that it means that it's flowing and not dripping, because we're going to see in a second that dripping might have a different din. So that's the explanation of the Chachamim. And then we have a third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harug, Shiatzai Men Revi'at Dam, Vaya Mutal B'mita. If you have a person who passed away who's on a deathbed, and Damo Metaftef L'Guma, His blood is dripping into a crevice in the floor. Tamei, mipnei she'tipa shomita mu'arevet bo. That is tamei because for sure there's at least a drop of blood of mita that's mixed in there. V'chachamim mitarim. V'chachamim mitarim mipnei she'rishon rishon nifsak. That each time that it comes out, it's not flowing, it's mitaftef, it's dripping. When it's dripping, then the dam that came out, achar mita, is batel in the blood that's already gathered there that was there lifnei mita. And as each drip comes in, it's batel. Now, Tosafot in other places mentions that if it comes the rove, then even when you have rishon rishon batel, then it's choser v'neor, and it becomes problematic. Tosafot does not address that over here, doesn't mention it. So we're assuming here that the dam mita, rishon rishon batel, afterwards never becomes the rove in this instance. So what's the position? The Gemara says, Shapir Karmelei Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan have a good claim against Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda here say that this has a din of dam mita? If clearly it's rishon rishon batel, Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda tamei demar in dam mevatel dam. Yehuda we see many times in Shas that he says that dam is not mevatel other dam, and therefore both damim, the dam dami chayim and the dam mita remain separate entity. Then the dam mita could gather there to the point where it's problematic because the dam mita is there. Rabbi Shimon Omer, tzaluvala eitz, someone who is hanging on a tree, shedamo shutet laaretz. And his blood is flowing down to the ground. Now, tzaluv is an interesting word, because the modern-day usage of the word tzaluv means to be crucified. But in the time of the Gemara in the Aramaic, you can see this by Paro, when he hangs the tzarofet, when he hangs him, it says there in the Targum, tzaluv, or tzalav. So tzaluv in the Gemara more likely means someone who was hung. So a tzaluv, alaich, so he's hanging from the tree, shedamo shutet laaretz. His blood is flowing down onto the ground. And then it pools below him, Erviyadam, Tamei. That is considered to be Tamei. Rabbi Yehuda Mitaer. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Shani Omer, Tipa Shumita Omeret Lo Agaba Eitz. Because the Tipa Shumita is still up on the wood or on the tree. Rabbi Yehuda Neima Iul Nafshe. Rabbi Yehuda should say that to himself. He just said that before by a Mita, when the blood drips off the Mita, that the Dam Mita is down in the crevice below. How come he doesn't say that the dam there got caught on the mita? Over here it says that the blood got caught on the tree or on the hanging post or crucifix, whatever it is that he's hanging on. It got caught on there. It's not in the ground. But by the mita, he says it is under the ground. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda's claim against Rabbi Shimon also apply to himself? Why does he say, Shani Omer, Tibashul Mita, Omeret Lo Agava Mita? When it says, Shani Bimita, bed is different, De Michal Chala, because it percolates. It allows the drip to go through it. It's not something that is a capturing area. And therefore, the dam mita most likely left the bed already and is down below. That's not true by the eitz tree, that we more likely would see that the dam would stay on it for a longer period of time. Okay, next Mishnah. Bishana ayumrim, ayoshevet al dam tohor, aita me'areh mayim lepesach. This is a woman who gave birth. After the first 7 days of zachar, 14 days for nekeva, we know she goes to the mikveh, and then she becomes what's called a tvulat yom aroch. That's what the Gemara is going to describe her as. She's now a tvu yom. She went to the mikveh. She's waiting for the sunset for a zachar on the 40th day, or the sunset on the 80th day for a nekeva, in order to become completely Torah. Then she'll have to bring her korban on day 41 and day 81 in order to enable her then to partake in kochim or enter into the mikdash. So as far as truma is concerned, she cannot eat truma. She's not going to come in contact with truma until the sunset on the 80th day or the sunset on the 40th day. So what we're describing here is this woman who has sightings of damim. Whatever she has is always considered to be tahor, which is called the tefulat yom aruch. She can pour the water from one cup to the other if that water is going to be used to clean the korban pesach. So now we're talking about waters. Chulin shenase al tarot kodashim. This is water that's going to be used for kodashim. Is being done by tarot kodashim. So now kodashim, we know, can it go down to a shlishi l'tuma and a revi l'tuma? This woman is a sheni l'tuma. Tvulat yom is classified to be a sheni l'tuma. The thing is that she's only touching the kelim. She's only touching the cups. So a kli cannot become tamei from a sheni l'tuma. So because of that, we allow her to pour from one cup to the other without worrying about the mayim that's in there. She can't touch the water, because the water itself is anatara to kodesh. She would make that into a shlishi l'tuma and then a revi l'tuma. So we don't allow her to touch the water, but we do allow her to touch the cups, because she cannot be metame the cups. And we do not worry about the fact that there might be mayim on the outside. There's mayim on the outside and she touched them, a sheni the tuma would make that into a special din midrabanan of a rishon the tuma that would affect kelim. That's a din derabanan, but that does not apply to a tvul yom. So since that doesn't apply to tvul yom, we don't even worry about liquids on the outside of the cup. Then, chazru lomar, they changed their mind and they changed the status of this woman. They changed her status to be classified as a magat tamemet. Someone who touched a tamemet makes her a rishon lituma. But they made her a rishon lituma instead of a sheni, but only for kodushim. So they were more machmir with her with regards to her status of what type of tuma she is. Instead of being a tevulah tiyom aroch of a sheni lituma, they made her into a rishon lituma midirabanan. But they narrowed what she can affect to just kodushim. So now she becomes a rishon lituma b'kodushim. So therefore, she cannot affect the water. In that case, she could even touch the water inside. Not only could she touch the cup she can't make tamei because she's still only a rishon lituma. The water inside she can't make tamei is because that is chulin shenasel tarat hakodesh. Over here, they narrowed the gzeira, the takanat chachamim, to only be about kodeshim, not chulin shenasel tarat hakodesh. So even though they upped her level of tuma, they narrowed the scope of that tuma. That's kedivrei bitilel. But my omrim af ketamei meit. Woman is not only a magat tamei meit, a rishon tuma. She is a tamei meit, meaning she is an avatuma. She's an avatuma. She's metamei the kelim. She's metamei the liquids. She can't touch anything. So now the Gemara says meare in nogatalo. So it sounds like from the ratio of the Mishnah that she's allowed to pour the water, but she can't touch the water itself. Alma, you would conclude from that. Chulin shenasel tarat hakodesh kekodesh demo. This water is chulin, and she's not allowed to touch it, because the chulin water here is being prepared al tarat hakodesh to be used with the korban haPesach, and she's not allowed to touch it, so it has a din like kodesh. Ema seifa, what are you going to do with this latter half of the Mishnah? Chazru lomar, harehi kemagat tmeimet. She has like a din of someone who touched tmeimet, the rishon lituma kodeshim. The kodeshim in, it's true for kodeshim, the chulin, that is not true, lo. Alma chulin shenasel tarat hakodesh lav kekodesh demo. That means that the water no longer has a classification of Kodesh. You have a Sira in the Mishnah. First half of the Mishnah seems to indicate Chulin Shenasel Tarat Kodesh is Kodesh. And then the other half of it saying Chulin Shenasel Tarat Kodesh does not have a status like Kodesh. So how do I reconcile that? Matnit and Mani, the safe of our Mishnah is like whom? It's like Abba Shaul. Who the Danya Abba Shaul Omer, Tvul Yom Tchila the Kodesh. Tamei Shnaim and Lutzol Echad. A Tvul Yom is like a Rishon the Tuma for Kodesh. Therefore, it's mitamei shtaim v'lipsol echad. Can cause two levels of tuma. Can cause a sheni l'tuma and a shlishi l'tuma. And posel echad, and then it's posel one more after that, which is a revi l'tuma. But that is by kodoshim. Only by kodoshim, but not by chulin shenasu atarat ha-kodesh. So what ended up happening was that the Mishnah shifted. In the beginning, when she was just a tefillat yom aroch, they said that chulin shatarat ha-kodesh, she does affect. But when they upped her level of Tumah to Rishon Tumah, they also narrowed that scope down to just Kodoshim, and not to Chulin Shenasel Tarat HaKodesh, and therefore there's a shift in the Mishnah between its view of Chulin Shenasel Tarat HaKodesh in the Reisha to the Seifa. And the Seifa is authored by Abba Shaul, believes that Chulin Shenasel Tarat HaKodesh over here is not affected by a Tvul Yom, because a Tvul Yom has a din of Rishon Tumah by Kodoshim, but still only affects Kodoshim and nothing else. Okay, the Mishnah now continues. Modim, they both agree she ochelet b'maser. She can eat maser because she is a tvulat yom aroch. A tvul yom is permitted to eat maser, not truma. Then b'kotze l'chala. Now that becomes a problem with truma. Truma she may not eat. Chala is like truma. So how is she going to be mafreshet chala when she's making an isa? She's mafresha the chala. She's going to make it meya. So we don't want her to come into contact with it. So what does she do? She's kotze l'chala. She separates out the chala and puts it into a kli. Uma kefet, and then she takes the kli and pushes it up against the rest of the isa, and then calls it the shame chala. Because now when she's handling the chala, she's handling it through a kli. Handling it through a kli is fine. Again, she's not mitameh the kli, because she's only a tulat yom, she's a sheni the tuma. Truma, or the chala that's inside of it, is protected. And you bring it together with the isa, that's how it works with the chala. Korla shame, and then she calls it the shame chala. Vim nafal miroka umidam teara al kikar. If any of her spittle or the dam that she is emitting during this period of time falls onto a kikar shel truma, onto a loaf of bread of truma, shehu tahor, that kikar is tahor, because the din is, and we'll see this in the Gemara, that any liquid that emanates from a tvul yom is the equivalent of coming into contact with the tvul yom, not an avatuma. Beit Shammai omrim, tzricha tvila b'achrona, Beit Hillel omrim, ena tzricha tvila b'achrona, something we saw early on in the Masechta. Machloka between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel at the end of the 40 days and the end of the 80 days, does she have to go to the mikveh again? Beit Hillel says she doesn't have to go to the mikveh. She already went to the mikveh on day 7, at the end of day 7 or the end of day 14. She just needs sunset on the 40th or 80th day. Beit Shammai says it's been such a long time and she's been misiach data from the original tefillah that we wanted to re-engage with tefillah, and she has to do a tefillah again after day 80 and after day 40 to go along with the sunset. Umar goes, Damar Mar, Taval v'ala uchel b'maser. Saw this early in the Masechta. that a Tful Yom is permitted to eat Maaser. So that's why this woman who's a Tfulat Yom Aroch is permitted to eat the Maaser. Kotzel Achala. So what do we see from this? Chulin HaTvulim L'Chala Lav K'Chala Damu. That when it comes to Chulin that has Chala still mixed in it, it doesn't have a status of Chala. Now, Tosafot points out that that's only true by a Tvulat Yom. That's not a general principle. It's a principle here that when it comes to Tvul Yom or Tvulat Yom, that the Chala that is embedded inside of this Chulin that's still mixed in there doesn't have a status like Chala, and therefore she could come into contact with it without affecting it and making it Tameh until she separates out the Chala, and that's why she has to be careful during the separation period. Then, Uma Kefet, why does she bring the Kli that she puts into back next to the Isa? Damamar mitzvah litrom min amukaf. Because Truma is supposed to be done from something that is proximate. And so she needs to have the Chala, which is called Truma, to be proximate to the Isa, which she's being mafrisha it from. Kor la shame, then she calls it a shame Truma. Sakadat Chala, Amina Nigzor Dilma Atu Lemin Gaba Mevrai. But we worry about the fact that maybe she'll touch it once it's in the Kli. Mashmalan, that we don't worry about that, that she's allowed to do this. She's allowed to have it in the Kli and call it a shame Chala once it's in the Kli. So don't worry about her coming into direct contact with it. If some of her spittle falls on this Kikar Shul Truma, it's not problematic. That's not. We have a Mishnah that says, Mashkeh Tvul Yom, Ki Mashkeh Manugeh Behem. Mashkeh that emanates from a Tvul Yom has the same din as a Mashkeh that touched them. So over here we know that a Mashkeh that touched them, a Tvul Yom is a Sheni L'Tumah. So at best, something that touches them could be a Shlishi L'Tumah. That means by Trumah, it doesn't affect it. Trumah only goes down to Shlishi L'Tumah. It does not reach Revi L'Tumah. So if something's a Shlishi L'Tumah, it's not going to affect Trumah. And that's why over here, the liquid that emanates from her, the spittle or the Dam Tahor that touches a Kikar Shel Trumah, will have no impact on this Kikar Shel Trumah, because this liquid is a Shlishi L'Tumah. Shlishi L'Tumah does not affect Trumah. Ve'elu ve'elu ein mitamim. And neither of these, not a Mashkeh that emanates from her or a Mashkeh that touches them, is mitamei Trumah. It's not mitamei the Trumah, because it's a Shlishi L'Tumah. It will be Posel Kodashim, because Kodashim can reach a Revi L'Tumah, so it will have impact on it. Kodashim, but it will not be mitamei kodshim. It won't be mitamei kodshim. It is posel kodshim. But truma, it won't affect at all. Chutz, the exception to this is, mi mashkeh azav shu avatuma. Question whether this girsha should be here. But it happens to be that mashkeh azav is different because mashkeh azav has a din of avatuma. Anything, a liquid that emanates from the zav has a din of avatuma. And therefore, it's a very different than this liquid that's emanating from a tvul yom. Shemai omim, my benayu. What's the machlok here between Beit Shemai and Beit Hillel? Amar Rav Katina, tvul yom aruch, iko benayu. Here's a machlok between Beit Hillel and Shemai about a tvul yom aruch. Whether she has to go to the mikveh again at the end of this period of tvul yom, does she go to the mikveh again or not? But even Beit Hillel agrees, in order to eat kodashim, she will have to go to the mikveh again. And that's a takanat chachamim that every mechuser kippurim, any Tamei that has to go through a period of time where they become Tahor through a process, and then on the eighth day they bring a Korban, everybody agrees that when they bring the Korban, you have to go to the Mikveh again in order to be Mitaher oneself, in order to engage with Kodshim again. And that's because this person has been so removed from Kodshim for so long, they might have been Mesiach Dad, not thought of something or some sort of Tumah. So we tell them, go to the Mikveh again in order to remind them about Tumah, to be engaged again with the issues of Kodashim. And Beit Hillel will agree to that. The only issue here, the only machlok here between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, about a tvulat yom aruch, at the end of that period, does she have to go to the mikveh again? Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll start with this Mishnah tomorrow.